Good morning, everybody. I love that last line of the gospel, by your perseverance, you will secure your lives. Jesus says in another place, the one who perseveres to the end will be saved. Notice he doesn't say the one who starts out. No, it's the one who perseveres to the end. So we always got to keep going, you know, keep persevering. And we don't got to do it alone. We have the good Jesus with us, and he makes it easy enough to keep on going, even when on our own strength we would just fall down. But what I really want to think about today is Saint Gertrude the Great, because today is her feast day, November the 16th, and so she gives us, I think, so many beautiful lessons in her life. She lived 800 years ago. She was a Benedictine nun in the 13th century, and she was a mystic. Now, a mystic is simply one who experiences God in direct and deep and extraordinary kinds of ways. It's a person who just opens themselves up to the Lord and allows the Lord to just... And so St. Gertrude is a really good example of this. By the way, Thomas Merton said that everybody should be a mystic, and that if we really immerse ourselves in the sacramental life, we'll be one. And that's really something to think about. But anyway, St. Gertrude, a great example. She had three visions I want to tell you about, and you'll see why. But the first vision, one day there she was, kneeling underneath a crucifix in prayer. Now, that is a very good place to pray. Hopefully, we all kneel down in front of a crucifix from time to time. You see every answer right there. She was praying, and she said, Jesus, there's this nun, and I can't stand her. You know, this nun that was in her convent. Don't know the backstory, but we just know that the two of these nuns did not get along. Okay? And so she's saying, I just can't love this nun. In this vision that she had, Jesus reached into his chest, took his heart, and gave it to her. And Jesus said, if you can't love her with your heart, love her with mine. And then he said, and love the Father with my heart too. And there's a beautiful mural of this exchange, this vision at St. Meinrad. It's right on the second floor, right outside the chapter room. Anybody can go see it. You have St. Gertrude right there receiving the heart of Jesus. This is really beautiful. At Mass, we receive the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus. We receive not a symbol, but the reality. We receive Jesus. And every Eucharistic miracle testifies it is heart tissue. We receive the Sacred Heart of Jesus at every Mass. And so maybe there's a person in your life that you can't forgive. Maybe there's a person in your life that has hurt you so badly. Maybe there are people in your life that you just can't stand. Co-workers, classmates, who knows? Family members. Love them with the heart of Jesus. Love the poor with the heart of Jesus. Love the forgotten with the heart of Jesus. And it's possible, literally and spiritually, to do it because we receive Holy Communion at every sacrifice of the Mass. The second vision that she had, one day she was praying, and she was given this vision from Jesus of the souls in purgatory. And they were raising their arms up in the air. And they weren't yearning for escape as much as they were yearning for love. And Jesus told her that every time you pray, even a very simple prayer, for a soul in purgatory, that you are showering them with love. And they're desperate for it. And they're in need of that purgation. Remember, nothing is imperfect in heaven. Heaven is perfect perfection. Most of us won't be perfect when we die. And we will probably depend ourselves one day on others praying for our souls. And Jesus showed her. She had this, and ever after that moment, in that vision of the souls in purgatory, she had this yearning to pray and offer prayers and sacrifices for the souls in purgatory. And then one day, Jesus gave her a prayer, and we're going to pray it at the end of the petitions today. Jesus gave her a simple prayer to pray, and he said that every time you pray this prayer, 1,000 souls will be released out of purgatory. And so, could you imagine how many souls will be released even in the praying of that prayer in this Mass today? It's quite something to think about. But we have to have a heart for the souls in purgatory. I don't think we think about them nearly enough. Nearly for 2,000 years we have been Catholics, and up until recently I think Catholics were much more focused on the souls in purgatory, and we forget about them. And it's one of even the founders of Protestantism believed in praying for the dead. It's one of the tricks of the enemy to have us forget about praying for them, and offering sacrifices for them. And so we must have a heart for the souls in purgatory. The third vision that I want to share with you. So St. Gertrude lived, as I told you, 800 years ago in what now is Germany. And she lived in a period of political upheaval. There was it was the period of the Great Interregnum, where you had no stable emperor. All the kings were sort of, there were rival kings. There was political chaos, local conflicts. Monasteries would hear rumors of nearby places being destroyed, and there were shifting alliances, and all this stuff was happening. And Gertrude lived in that period of time. And she had all this anxiety, you know, about this whole stuff. Until one day she was praying in front of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And Jesus told her in the Blessed Sacrament, he said, he opened his side and invited her to rest her head on his heart. And the vision that she had was that Jesus' heart was like a pillow. And so she went she would pray in front of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament and rest her life on the Sacred Heart of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. And what happened was that her heart began to beat with Jesus' heart. And that's why adoration matters so badly. That's why St. John Paul II prayed that every Catholic parish would have a perpetual adoration chapel. Because you can't just go out and start doing the corporal works of mercy as a do-goodism. It has to have its origin in Jesus. And what happens is when you spend time with Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament, your heart begins to beat with his. And then you look out there and you see people suffering and you can't stand not to do anything. And so you start pouring. But it's because of your anchor is Jesus. And you rest your life, you rest everything on his Sacred Heart in the Blessed Host and the Blessed Sacrament. And that everything, he became for Gertrude her anchor. And this period of incredible anxiety and stress and uncertainty and the unknown, Jesus became her anchor in the Blessed Sacrament. And I don't know if you noticed, but we live in crazy times even now. Jesus in the Gospel, he says there's going to be wars and insurrection, earthquake, famines, plagues, all these mighty signs, all these things. But Jesus himself is our anchor. And we anchor ourselves in him in the Blessed Sacrament, because that's where he is alive. And so these three visions of St. Gertrude, I think, are very instructive for us. Let us pray to love with the heart of Jesus. Let us pray to care deeply for the souls in purgatory. And let us pray to anchor ourselves in Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. If you don't have a holy hour in our chapel, please get one. You will be better for it. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.